Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. We turn this morning to our lectionary passage from the Old Testament, the story from Ezekiel chapter 37. It's a long story, and a familiar one, but beautiful. The people who have been receiving this story for all ages have been amazed. Listen for the word of the Lord. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied, as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, and there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you up and back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." I add to our scripture this morning just a snippet from Romans chapter 8, also from our lectionary, our Pentecost lectionary. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. A word of comfort, advice, and observation from the Apostle Paul. Imagine the elderly man sitting at the breakfast table after his wife has died. The grown kids have gone home. He sits alone in that house, alone at that table, all alone in the wide world. Imagine. The hand of the Lord has come upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. Imagine the eighth grade girl who is not invited to the eighth grade dance. A minivan load of girls from the neighborhood, they went, but they did not invite her. On the days leading up to the dance, the girl saw a dress in a store window, and she wondered if she had been invited to the dance, would her parents have bought her that dress? No matter. She was not invited, and she did not go. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. Both this lonely old man and this eighth grade girl are your neighbors. You see her walking to and from the park, often with her dog. She weighs all of 91 pounds, but her heart, I assure you, is heavier than that. And the old man, he walks by himself with his dog to and from the park, and he notices nothing about the sky, the greening of the lawns, the weather, the heat, the cool. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. I'm sorry to say that many of us have been to that valley before, and some of us right now know somebody who's in that valley today. In every direction, dry bones litter the ground. No life, no hope, no chance of hope. But listen to the prophet Ezekiel. He sees the valley that God is showing him. He sees the dry bones. He feels the despair. God asks, "O mortal, can these bones live?" And listen to what Ezekiel does not say. "Are you crazy, God? These bones are gone, long gone, deader than dead. This is as hopeless a place as there is on the face of the whole earth." Ezekiel doesn't say that. He sees the barren, desolate valley of bones. He feels the dry heat of hopelessness. But he doesn't say that. He says, "Oh Lord, God, you know." Ezekiel knows that God is God, and that God can do what God will do. That hope is not hope if it's seen, says Paul, right? And if Ezekiel has hope, and I think he does have hope, then he has hope based not upon what he sees, because all he sees is a valley of dry bones. But he has hope in something he doesn't see. He has hope and trust in God. It looks hopeless, but you, oh God, well, you can bring hope from despair. Despair and death surround me, oh God, but you, oh Lord, can bring life. My life's partner is gone, taken too young. I feel afraid and alone, but you, oh Lord, can heal me and help me and restore me to the land of the living. Nobody invited me to the eighth grade dance, but you, O Lord, have not lost sight of my broken heart, and you hear my cry. And I know that at least you will never overlook me as the rest of the world seems to have done. God tells Ezekiel to speak to the bones, this performative speak. You speak, and I will make it happen. And what God says will happen does happen. The bones come together, then the flesh covers the bones, and then the breath. And the breath came into the bones, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, a vast multitude. And God said to the prophet, this metaphor, "These bones are the people of Israel. I will bring life to them. I will bring life to these people who feel they are gone, long gone." God's word is like that. It changes everything. All around us, we hear voices saying, "Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely." We have said words like that ourselves. But God says, "I will cause breath to you. From the four winds, breath shall come into you and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you and knit your bones together and cover you with flesh and put breath in you, and you shall live and know that I am the Lord. Thus says the Lord, Ko Amar Adonai." Ezekiel, he has the right idea. When God asked him if this valley of dry bones could live, Ezekiel didn't say what was obvious. He didn't say what he saw. No, God, these bones are gone, long gone. There's no chance. And this is as desolate a place as there is on the face of the earth. Ezekiel did not say that. He said, "Oh, Lord God, you know. I don't, but you do. With you, all things are possible." I need to be reminded, I don't know about you, that God is able to bring life when things feel hopeless. Sue Gray is president and CEO of the United Way in our county. And recently she reported these staggering facts. They're in your church newsletter. You can look at them and read the fuller letter. Nearly half of the households in our community struggle to make ends meet every single month. Nearly half. And while people of all races struggle financially, a disproportionate number of people of color are struggling. Does that surprise you? Shouldn't. But staggering fact. 1 in 5 of our children live in poverty. This also disproportionately affects and impacts people of color. More than 1 shots fired incident a week has been recorded in 2021. One this morning that was deadly. More than 1 shots fired report has been filed per week, more than 1 in the year 2020. Last year's figures were our highest, and this year's figures are on track to shatter that record from last year. Child abuse and neglect cases in our county are some of the highest across the state. 15% of the households in Champaign County are food insecure. Oh, not your neighbors there, not your neighbors there, not your neighbors across the street, but, well, maybe those neighbors. Champaign Unit 4 and Urbana Unit 116 schools reported that 45% of incoming kindergarten students demonstrate that they are not kindergarten ready. In Unit 4, the data shows that 93% of African-American males in third grade are not meeting standard expectations in reading and language arts. That number for math is 90%. I'm not making this stuff up. There are many of you who worship with us online and you live all across the country. And you might think from these statistics that we are in a troubled area, or that there's our community is broken, or that it's not lovely here, or that we're some kind of wasteland. We are not. Champaign-Urbana is so beautiful. And the university here is great. We have a great community college, great people, great culture and arts and restaurants. And yet these figures, these facts, they're real, and they should stagger us all, no matter where we live. I look around sometimes, having watched the news and read the news this morning, been handed the sheet of paper today, stepping into worship now. I look around and sometimes I see nothing but a valley of dry bones. Yes, the new corn is coming in, but the stalks are twisting around layer upon layer of dry bones, and more bones are being added to the valley every day. Poverty and disproportionate justice, and the struggle that we are all having building the kingdom of God. I need to be reminded by prophets like Ezekiel that God is able to do great things from even a valley of dry bones. Ezekiel reminds us what God does with dry bones. God pours out His Spirit and those bones begin to rattle and connect, and life pours over and into and from those bones, and those dry bones are people. They are communities like ours. They are whole nations, alive and well, alive and dancing. Dry bones transformed to new life. God does this stuff. God brings life from despair. That's why. Because God brings life from despair. That's why organizations like DREAM work in our community to turn around those numbers that Sue Gray writes about. Yeah, the situation does feel dire, particularly this morning, to me anyway. Lives are being lost on our streets. But dream is rubbing God's Spirit in all the broken places, and lives are being saved. Dream is saying, we don't want to take a young, typically black American boy from 5 years old to 24. No, we need them when they're four, when they're three, when they're two. We want to come alongside these boys and walk with them through their life's journey, surrounding them with people who are trauma-informed, people who love them, people who are trained, people who are servants, so that they will have a significant other or others in their lives, walking with them through this process. The school-to-prison pipeline is being disrupted. And give it a couple generations and we'll see what glories will be revealed to us. God brings life from despair. That's why Rob Dahlhaus gets up in the morning and goes to see you at home to help our neighbors without an address. And they're really struggling right now. They have to train more staff. They've suspended their sheltering work for the moment, just for the moment. But because God's brings hope out of despair, Rob Dahlhaus gets up every morning and does what he does. Thanks be to God. Because God brings life from despair, that's why our mission partners, Bob and Christy Rice, are heading back to South Sudan this summer after a pandemic away. God brings life from despair, which is why we keep investing in upstream solutions that enhance systems, that change systems affecting complex social situations, bringing about social change over the long term. See, we have hope to do that. We support things of immediate need. We write checks every month for immediate need, but we take a step back and support ministries that affect larger change, systemic change over periods of time. We have hope so we can do that. God brings life from despair, which is why that elderly widower keeps on keeping on. His life is done, over, kaput. He's surrounded by dry bones. There's no reason to go on, but he does. He keeps taking step after step. He keeps on keeping on. It's an act of deep faith and trust in the God who loved and loves and created him and his recently departed beloved wife. Down the street from that man lives the eighth grade girl who was left out in the dance. She's a member of his church. She walks her dog at night, and he walks his. They walk together. She tells him what it's like, what it feels like to be left out. And he takes that pain and holds it in the cup of his heart. And he shares with her that his wife had 47 pairs of shoes that only recently did he have the strength finally to get rid of. And this eighth grade girl, who has no business understanding such a thing, does understand. These are the dry bones under God's good care. This man and this girl are the dry bones being knit together and being covered with flesh and being re-enlivened. The dust has been covered with living flesh, and those once broken bones are up and walking step after step. They keep on keeping on, walking down their neighborhood street with dogs tugging at their leashes. These steps become the first stumbling steps of great joy, a new dance, a new day, a whole new life. Oh, mortal, can these bones live? Contrary to the physical evidence, yes. God uses prophets by the names of Ezekiel and Tracy and Lola and Eric and Carol and Steve and Tom and Vern and Jeanette and Rachel, and tells these prophets to speak a word of care, tells these prophets to nourish and to nurture, and these bones entrusted to their care, they start to rattle and dance, and God breathes. God breathes, and God's Spirit, God breathes God's Spirit, and there is life. There is life. There is life. That's what God does. That's who God is. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.